Would you turn your Bible to Isaiah 58? Isaiah 58. This August, Victoria Austin, wife of a mega church, Joel Austin, she said this. I just want to encourage every one of you to realize that when we obey God, we are not doing it for God. I mean, that it's one way to look at it. I don't know that there was another way. Anyway, in her deep theology, she said this. We are doing it for ourselves because God takes a pleasure when we are happy. She said this with her husband smiling at her side in approval. That's the thing that gives him greatest joy. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy, she continued. And when you come to church, when you worship Him, you are not doing it for God, really. You are doing it for yourself. Because that's what makes God happy. Amen. Amen. And she asked, and of course her congregation cheered. I would love to have an opportunity to ask Victoria Austin where in the Bible she found this blasphemous and a phony theology. Her feel-good and all-about-me heresy is echoed by the false prophets of the book of Jeremiah. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, the true godly prophet Jeremiah had warned the Israel people to take heed what he said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they were about to be exiled to the Babylon for their due to their disobedience and their idolatry. See, but the false prophets, do you know what they said? Peace, peace, peace. Everything is peace in their chant. So I want you to keep your finger in Isaiah. Turn to right next book, which is Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah 23, verse 16, please. Thus says the Lord, Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophet who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak of vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, that's what the Lord has said, you shall have peace, and to everyone who walk according to the dictate of their own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. That's what they said. That's what the false prophet said. But few first verses from there to down, this is what the Lord says. Verse 32, please. Jeremiah 23, 32. This is God speaking through Jeremiah. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them, cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. As many of you already know, this once great country, United States of America, is heading for the fatal, tragic ending like all the other countries around the world, with the exception of Israel. This is not some twisted mind preacher's cynical comment. Rather, this is from the Word of God. In case you have not read the book of Revelation, you need to. The ending is not pretty for the unbelieving world. America is following the exact self-destructive pattern of the ancient Israel that was blessed by the Lord beyond anyone's imagination. As long as they obey the Lord, God bless them. As long as they obey the Lord and follow His command. But when they choose to go against the Word of God, against His commandment, against what they are told, and they start to worship the pagan idols, do you know what God did for them? He just let them do whatever they wanted to do. They destroy themselves. It is unreal what they did. They rather worship creature than creators. And they made carnal choices. And America is more blessed than any other country around the world. You would not know. If you came from another country like me, you would know how blessed this country is. The reason why this country was so blessed was because the forefather of this country put God in the first priority in every aspect of their lives, including politics. What a concept, right? But now America is only a few steps away from becoming completely godless nation. Don't think that this midterm election brought some favor to God. Because you are thinking, well, God had to be a member of a Tea Party or at least a Republican Party. No, he's not either one. Remember what Joshua said when he met God in the before he made a conquest to Jericho? Are you for me? Are you a friend or foe? And angel of the Lord said, neither. God is not siding us. We are supposed to side with him. Do you understand? Instead of speaking the truth of God, there are many pastors and Bible teachers who would teach their everything is hunky-dory theology. And like Joel and Victoria Osteen and the emergent church movement and the prosperity gospel movement. What they are really concerned about is not the congregation's spiritual condition. What they are concerned about is how much they can get out of these people, their pocketbooks. And as long as these people are teaching these kinds of heresies, get this, guys, there will be a naive people and there will be a biblically ignorant people continuously hovering or flocking around their churches and supporting these people. The ancient Israel people whom we are going to study went through their religious ritual to make themselves feel more spiritual and secure. But the Lord did not listen to them. In many churches in America, the same thing is happening. They would have a fancy worship teams and bands with the laser beams and the light shows. Like almost like a concert instead of worship service. A friend of mine went to a big church in Albuquerque. And he said it was not a worship service, it was a concert. I thought, wow. Taking focus away from God to the musicians, to the light, and to this laser beams running around the sanctuary. And they might feed hungry people in the name of Christ. They might even do the fasting and praying. But if they are not serving God, whom are they praying to? But the Lord rejects them because their heresies and disobedience. And tell them something they did not expect when they see Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Verse 22. Listen to this, please. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? You know, if they did all these things in the name of Christ, now we would be impressed. But this is what God says. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, another gospel says, the workers of evildoers. Let's stop and pray. Father, we don't want to be the one who practice evil things and not serving you from our heart. But we want to serve you from our heart, from our mind, from our soul, and everything within us. We do not look for the feel-good theology. We do not look for make-me-rich theology. But we are looking for the theology that says, make me like Jesus. Teach us from your word. Even if it hurts, guide us. Make us more like your son. Father, we pray for President Obama that he may come to know Christ and stop doing evil things. Whatever it takes to get his attention, Lord. And we also pray for safety of our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. As more and more troops are heading to the place in the harm's way, Father, we ask you to watch over them and watch over their families. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 58 of Isaiah, please. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take the delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted? And they said, and you have not seen. Why have we afflicted our soul, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find a pleasure, and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fasted for strife and debate, and to strike with the feast of the wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day of man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out the sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an unacceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bond of the wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens? To let the oppressor go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. You see, the Jews were committed to observe the fasting only once a year. Officially, that's the annual day of atonement, which is known as Yom Kippur, according to the book of Leviticus chapter 16. But they were permitted to have a fast as often as they want, personally. These Jewish people at the time of Isaiah complained that nobody noticed their fasting. Perhaps they were trying to buy God's blessing, getting a brownie point, whatever you want to call it, with their fasting. Listen, worshiping God involves more than observing outward ritual. There must be inward obedience and submission to the Lord. Without obedience and submission to the Lord, you are just going on hungry for nothing. Again, back to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew 6, verse 16. Let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ talks about fasting. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like a hypocrite with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their face that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So what is the definition of fasting? We need to understand the definition of fasting. Fasting is a voluntary abstinence of the from food to spend the meal time in prayer with a mourning of repentance or intercession. It is extremely important for us to understand the real meaning of fasting, otherwise we are doing it the wrong way. Fasting and prayer are frequently found together in the scripture because of fasting is a preparation for the concentrated and humble prayer. Of itself, the fasting is no guarantee that God will listen. Soon as you skip the meal and start to pray, if you think that God will listen, no matter what kind of spiritual condition you have, you are wrong, I am wrong. Because the fasting must be accompanied by the sincere humility and brokenness before the Lord. If the fasting is only a formal religious ritual, it accomplishes no spiritual purpose other than empty stomach and guess what? Prideful heart. Oh yeah, I fast today. Who cares? True fasting will lead to humility before God and ministry to others. That's what we just read. We deprive the food from ourselves so that we might share it with others and do so for the glory of God. If we fast in order to get something for ourselves from God, nothing wrong with praying for yourself, but if we think that we can get some favor from God, that's wrong. Instead of becoming a better people for the sake of others, then we have missed the meaning of a true worship through fasting. Am I making sense to you? Is this too deep? It shouldn't be deep. You should get it very easily. In other words, it's not about us. Rather, it is about the Lord and the serving others, contrary to the heresy by Victoria Austin. What a blasphemous heresy that she said. She and her husband, Joel Austin, will have an answer to the Lord. For what they taught, they said, and how they misled millions of people in America and around the world. If I were them, I would fear for my future. Go to verse 1 of chapter 59, please. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquity have separated you from your God. Did you get that? Your iniquity, your sin, my sin have separated us from God. And your sin have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. In the Old Testament, they bring the sacrifice. You know why? Without the blood of animal, there was no remission. There was no forgiveness. God would not listen to their prayer. So there is a great deal of injustice in the land of Israel at that time, with the rich exploiting the poor and the rulers using their authority only to make themselves more richer. It sounds much like what's happening in America, don't you think? When this rich and powerful people go to the temple, they lift their hands as a show, of course. They want other people to see. And they say, well, I go to temple. I went there how many times? God could not answer their prayer because their sins hid his face from them. I share this with a people at the midweek service. So if you heard this, please bear with me. Over the last weekend, I went up to the men's conference with several guys from our church. It was great. Food was good. Fellowship was wonderful. The Friday night dinner, open fire, was melt my brain because it's so hot. Way too much jalapeno there, but it was wonderful. And the study was from the book of Ephesians chapter 5, be imitators of God. One speaker after another speaker, they expound the scripture about the purity in love and purity in wisdom. I'm sorry, the walk in wisdom and walk in love and walk in purity. It went on and on. And one of the things that I was honored to speak there was sexual purity. No fornication, no adultery. You wouldn't believe how many people came to me trying to justify what they're doing. I'm not joking. It's a, well, this is a classic one. One guy came to me and said, can you define the marriage? I thought, what do you think you are, Bill Clinton? What is it? Can you define the easy? Remember that thing? And he said, well, you know, people live together for a long time according to common law. They are husband and wife. Do you have a marriage license? No. Of course, he didn't say, I live with this woman for a long time. Of course, somebody else was doing it. So I looked at him and said, like, do you think I was born yesterday? Anyway, on Sunday morning, at the round table where we were having breakfast, there was a young man from another Calvary Chapel. Seems like a nice guy, seems like a bright young man. He said that he lived in downtown, he liked to go out, have fun, dance, and go out with the girls. I asked him, you mean unbelieving girls? Yes. Are you going to hop in the sack with them? He said, yes. I could not believe what I was hearing. So I asked him again, what would you be listening to at this conference? He had no shame. Let me make this very clear to you. Fornication means having sex before marriage. It doesn't matter how you're going to cut it. You have a sex before marriage, you're committing sin. Am I making clear for you? You want to know the definition of fornication? Do the research. Go on the dictionary.com. By all means, it will say sex before marriage. It's sin. People will try to justify. One of our elders, Bob Lehman, was sitting next to me, and he was thinking, Pastor, probably he's thinking this thing. I can just tell by his face. Pastor, calm down. It's not worth killing for. You know, worst part is not that. Worst part is I saw him during the worship. He lifted his hands like this, tilted his back, eyes closed. Was he into worship? Yes. But what's the purpose of worshiping God when he's not going to do what God says? Just say, I'm not a Christian, I'm a heathen. If you are in sin, I don't know what kinds of situation you are in. Repent, turn from it. Until then, God will not hear your prayer. Not because he choose not to hear from you, but rather your sin pushed him away from you. Am I making sense? It's not what I say, it's what we just read from the Bible. Then some of you who want to be forgiven by the Lord may wonder, is there any forgiveness for me? Because my sins are too many. keep your finger right there. Go to the Isaiah 43, please. A few chapters before. Isaiah 43, verse 25. This is what God says. I, even I, am he who blot out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not, what does it say? Remember your sins. So let me put it this way. When God forgives and restores his people, he wants you to forget the failures of past and from then move on to witness for him in the present and claim his promises for the future. Are you with me? Why should we remember and remind him what God has forgotten? He forgives our sin just as he promised and doesn't remember them anymore. In other words, God has a serious, serious Green Valley moment when it comes to our confessed sins. He forgets. Amen? Back to 59, please. Isaiah 59, verse 16. Just in case you don't know what I said, the Green Valley moment means... I forgot what that means. Verse 16. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. For he put on the righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with a zeal as a cloak. According to their deed, according to he will repay fury to his adversary, recompense to his enemy, and coastland he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from the transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in my mouth, and shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendant, nor from the mouth of your descendant's descendant, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. The Lord patiently waited for the Israel people to turn from their sins and wickedness, but the people ignored him because they thought they were right with him, since they were religious by sacrificing animals and lifting their hands and attending to the temple and fasting. But the Lord did not approve their empty religious ritual, because the Lord loved them and he had to discipline them. As you read verse 17, I'm sure it reminds you that what you studied in Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God by the Apostle Paul. Listen, if we don't put on the whole armor of God and fight for his glory in our spiritual battle, God will do it. But it is his preference for us to put on the full armor of God so we can fight for him. He rather use us, in us, and through us with the whole armor of God. Recently, an Air Force colonel's column was removed from the Air National Guard newsletter because the writer, the colonel, violated the military policy, including reference to the Jesus Christ and God. This is the United States Air Force. Colonel Florencio Martinez, the medical group commander of the 180th Fighter Wing, wrote an essay in September edition, Stinger. That's the newsletter name. It was titled, A Spiritual Journey as a Commander. He wrote about his mother who raised him in Christian faith and how his life was shaped because of her faith. And he refers the Bible verse from the New Testament, with God, all things are possible. So they removed it. To the United States Air Force is against their policy, they say. But it's the same people who just ask God to bless them and protect them. You know, that's the case. You know, if he wrote about Allah, do you think his article was removed? Not a fat chance. No, excuse me, not in pig's eyes chance. Folks, this is the people who are asking God to help and protect them. Well, what do you expect from the president who would like to do that kind of thing? Listen up. The unbelieving world, unbelieving people in the United States and around the world think that they are winning over Christianity, which reveals their wicked sin. The reason why they hate Christianity is because it revealed the sin, their sins. They probably think that Christianity is a dying religion and nothing can stop them from the removing it from the history and from the people's mind. That's why they are changing the children's textbook. Removing the Thanksgiving, instead of Thanksgiving, is now what do they call some of the harvest thing. And they no longer call it Christmas, they call it Happy Holidays. Bogus. They left a very important person in their equation, God. They may come after us like a flood, but the Lord will protect us from them, and Christianity will prevail. Three applications for you guys. Number one, if you feel that the Lord is leading you to fast and pray, please do it quietly without a fanfare. Don't tell anyone. It's between you and the Lord. During the time of Jesus, the Pharisees, when they have a fast, when they did the fasting, they put up the white plaster on their face. So they look pale. Oh, you've been fasting. Oh, yes. For 5 weeks. Baloney. And some people like to say, oh, I've been praying for you for 3 hours. In the middle of the night, of course. Second application. We might impress others with our outward religious remark or display, but the Lord sees right through our hypocrisy. Our worship to the Lord must be done in spirit and what? Truth. Not as a facade. I might fool you with a facade, religious facade. Or you might fool me as your religious facade, but we are not fooling God. Why are we trying to make ourselves look good in the presence of others when God sees it? Let's stop. Okay? Third application. If you are in sin, stop and repent. While you are in sin, the Lord does not hear your prayers. That's a good reason to stop sin, because I want my God to hear my prayers. I want that close relationship with Him.